week we embarked on a journey of great faith, and we said that faith is actually trust. How many remember that? Faith is just trust, a simple word, trust. You have faith in something, that's because you trust that it works. So faith is just trust. And when we said that, we kind of apply faith in every day of our lives. Right? How many of you have flown in a plane before? Only a few. AirAsia says everyone can fly, you know. And only a few is flying, right? You know. How many of you know that when you fly, when you are in the plane, when you are 32,000 feet in the air, whose hands are your life in at that point in time? Pilot, right? So you put total faith in that guy. You know, I had a story to tell you. You know, some people put faith in everything except God. All right, I was in Manila then, and good friend of mine, his father passed away, and so he lives in Bacolod. We're in Manila in Bacolod. Bacolod is about 2 hours flight down. And so we decided to visit him, to be with him, because father passed away. And so a friend of mine, the two of us, we decided, okay, we'll buy the ticket. So it was a last minute thing. We bought the ticket. First flight, we took it out. I was sitting a bit in front. He was sitting at the back. We couldn't find a seat together. And lo and behold, 30 minutes into the air, the plane started to shake. All right? Because one of the engines failed. And then the mast just drops down from the top, okay? And so my friend was sitting in the back. He was terrified. He was seeing what's all been happening. The whole plane was shaking and the things were coming down. And then the plane actually, we flew back, okay? We flew back. So we went back to Manila. And when we touched down, he said that, you know, when all these things was happening, I looked at you. He said, from behind, I could see you were so calm. He said, you know, Poseng, you are my LG leader, and you were so calm. And so I felt so calm. Then I said, June, his name is June Navisile. I said, June, I was just asleep. I didn't even know what was happening. I was so tired. I was just asleep the whole time when the string was shaking. I was just asleep, you know. He put all his faith in me, you know. I said, you know what? Don't trust me. Trust God, all right? And then we talked about faith, that faith moves mountains. Okay. I went down to Village Grocer before the service, and I bought a packet of mustard seed, because the Bible says if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, you can move a mountain, right? So I bought that packet to show you guys. I threw it down, it went around, it never came back to me. Somebody took it home. You know, somebody took my mustard seed home. You know? So if a mustard seed as small as that can move a mountain, how much more when we have great faith, all right? And that's what we want to believe in, okay, that we will have great faith for the rest of our life, okay? Let me say amen to that. Amen. Come on, so we want to have great faith. And today we're going to talk about another aspect of faith. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11 that we can have faith in the unseen, all right? And Hebrews 11 verse 1 and 2 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received the commendation. Everybody say, now faith. Now. It's now faith. All right? It's not about yesterday's faith. Okay? We can look back to the answered prayers. We can look back to the faithfulness of God of the past and build our faith today to believe in God now. Okay, but you can't use an old faith to do it. God's looking at you today, right? And neither can we borrow faith from the future, right? So it's about now, okay? Now is the day to believe. Now is the day to rise up in faith to believe God for something, all right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? I seem a bit quiet, all right? Now, don't wait, okay? Don't wait till things get worse. All right. If in life today you're not feeling good, you feel like, you know, it's so dredging. I get up in the morning, I go to work, I come back, I earn a little money, you know, I eat a little bit char kway teow, and then I don't have much, and you feel like, you know, life's not worth it. You know, you're beginning to feel that way. Okay, you better cry out to God now. All right, because God have greater things in store for you. You know, you just have to find your purpose in Him. Okay, don't wait. Don't wait till things get bad. Right? If you're not feeling good in your business, you know, cry Cry out to God to intercede today, right? So now faith, okay? Now faith, okay? Second thing is that it's the assurance of things hoped for. It's the substance of things that you hope for. Okay, in this particular text itself, basically what hope for means is that the Israelites, the people, joyfully anticipating something will happen, okay, because they know their God. They're joyfully expecting, they're hoping for things to happen. It's about salvation. They are joyfully waiting for the day they will reunite with God. Okay, they're talking about their salvation itself. But in the same breath, we can also believe for God for the desires of our heart, right? I mean, believing to buy a BMW or something, buy a car. No one. Okay, how many believing in going to buy a condo? All right, you want to have a house, okay, a small house, so that, you know, like that's what Dato say, you know, you get a good condo, at least you're safe, all right, then you can splash all your money in business. How many are you looking to travel? Believing in God to travel, all right? So you can hope, you can believe that God can answer you, okay, even though things may not look like it today. All right, and you look at your bank account and you say, you know, I only got 1,000 ringgit. Like, it's a long way to go to buy a house, a long way to go to buy a car. All right, but that's what faith is all about. All right, what you see today may not logically explain or help you to believe what you can hope for in the future. But faith means you see it in the spirit, that you already know in your heart that our God can deliver it. All right. I love just what Dato was saying earlier about his business. You know, you can't just spend that kind of money building the kind of showrooms that he has. I mean, it's incredible. Unless you really believe in your heart, you see it in the spirit, right? You see it somewhere and you believe God's there. You know, God's given you that hope in there that everything will work out, right? So faith is like that. Faith is about believing in the all-powerful God, all right? And the conviction of things unseen. You know, this is even incredible, okay? Conviction of sin, meaning you are being sure of what you have not seen, being sure of what you do not see. You know that we can't trust our eyes a lot, right? You look at your neighbor, and then you see that, wow, he's driving a big car and all that, and then in your mind you think, wow, the guy is richer than me, you know? But maybe you fail to see that his debts are as high as his eyeballs. Okay? In an economic downturn, he'll be the first one to crash. We don't see that. Right? We see that people are very happy. Okay? But we don't see what's behind them. Okay? So eyes don't tell us anything. In fact, what is unseen doesn't mean that it does not exist. Right? How many of you really believe that? Come on. Right. Take a deep breath. Isn't that nice? That was air, right? Did you see air? Take another deep breath. If you smell something, it could be your neighbor, okay? No, never mind. Okay. It's been a long day, okay? So, you don't see it, but you can smell it, okay? So, what you don't see doesn't mean it does not exist, all right? In fact, today, you find that people transact money all over, okay? And the airwaves are just filled up with billions of dollars just flying around. Okay? We don't see it. During my time, when I was schooling in UK, way back in the 80s, 30 years ago or more, when I went to the UK, I had to buy traveler's checks. How many of you even heard of traveler's checks? Yeah. Okay. Sometimes maybe you go to some country that doesn't really have electronic banking or whatever, right? So you sign up all these traveler's checks. I bring it over to the UK, and then I go to the bank, I sign it, and then I use the money to create a bank account. And then I use it for the duration of my studies there. Okay. Today is different, right? I have a daughter who lives in New York and he studies in New York, and when he comes to school fees, I just send $5,000, click, and then instantaneously it goes. All right. Money flies through the air. How many believe that money flies through the air? Billions of them, all right? We don't even see it. You know, how much, what's the economy of the world today? In the trillions, all right? So can you believe, first of all, how many believe that God is rich? Right, he's so rich, right? I mean, he's got so much in his kingdom. So now, would you believe that he can actually transfer money to you over here? Can or not? Can, huh? Oh, that's good, man. This is faith, man. All of a sudden, faith has come up, you know? Well, there's a principle to that, okay? There's a principle of how you're going to draw money from God, all right? So we are doing our finance series in August. So you have to keep coming back until August to find out how to do it. So that's how it is, you know? The what's unseen doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It does exist, all right? The second thing that about being unseen is that you're not looking for it. Okay, you pray, you fast and pray, you believe in God that He will deliver, He will answer your prayers on that, but you've been doing for months, for years, and then you find that nothing is happening. All right. You know why? Because sometimes when you're not looking for it, you don't see it. Am I correct? And I'll tell you a story. I took my wife to a hospital in Manila for just a regular checkup. Okay, and so she went in for a procedure, and then I had 45 minutes to wait. Okay, it was a hospital where they added a new building, so they moved around the things a bit. There was a cafe that I knew would be on the second floor, but because they have made some renovations, I couldn't figure out exactly where it was, and so I was looking for directions and all that. And as I was approaching that place, somebody jumped up and said, "Oh, Zeng, I'm here." Oh. He was right there. Anthony was just right there, but I never saw him. Okay, I never saw him because I wasn't looking for him. I was looking at something else. And sometimes like that, all right? In faith, we believe God for something. And in your mind, all right, you believe that an answered prayer is exactly what you thought it should be. Okay, you put God in a box. And you say that, oh, this is how you should answer me. And you keep looking for it. You've been praying and praying and looking for that answer. But actually, God has already answered you in a different way. But you never saw it because you were not looking for it. So faith is not about just what you want, okay? It's about what God has best for us. It's believing that God has a better plan for us. And that we will be sensitive to hear from Him, sensitive to see what He has in store for us. All right, So, things unseen, all right? Things unseen is real to many people, okay? But more than just the answered prayer, because let me just explain that in Isaiah 55, okay? For my thoughts are higher than you. See, if we put God in a box, okay, we will never get to see His best because His ways are higher than it. So in Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Okay, so in a way, faith is believing that God has a better plan. He has a better answer for us. All right, so we have to work with Him on that. Okay, but more than just the answered prayer, okay, what is unseen is that the people of the old, okay, the Bible, the verse earlier, Hebrews 11, said that the old was commended for it. You know, the people in the Bible before, they were commended for their faith. Though they have not seen the answered prayer yet, but they kept believing. Okay, because they kept believing in the unseen God. They know they, even though they have not seen God, but they know Him well. Okay, when you have a relationship with God, you will sense His presence. When we worship God just now, you will sense His presence. All right? And He is real to us. Salvation is real to a lot of us. Forgiveness of sin is real to us. For some of us, you know, we could have done something not very nice. Only you and God knows in your life. Okay? And you may feel condemned about it. You may, like, walking around feeling that, you know, I shouldn't have done those things. I was just, I stole from my family or whatever it may be. Okay? You really feel bad and you're having a big rock on your shoulder walking around. But when you meet a forgiving God, when you come before Jesus and Jesus says, "I forgive you of everything," you find that rock disappears. You find that you walk in freedom. All right? So the unseen becomes real to a lot of people. Okay, so more than just the answered prayers or having things in our lives, all right, is having a strong relationship with God who can give us far greater things. All right, so that's what it is. Okay, and because of that, we are going to move on to the title of our message today is Great Faith, Great Mission. There's a mission for all of us. And a great mission requires great faith. Okay, so faith is really the absolute trust in a loving and powerful God to fulfill all His promises. This is the very foundation of it. If you have no trust in our God, you will not walk in the mission that He's given you. All right? And so we heard of, last Sunday, we heard Pastor Jackie shared a powerful sermon in Puchong, Every Nation Puchong. And so we're going to talk a little bit about missions today, about what's the mission for us from God. Okay, so Acts 1:8, this is a very familiar verse to a lot of Christians. Okay, but you will receive power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Right, we receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Right? When you receive power, you know, you can only receive this power when you believe in God, when you have that trust in Him. Right? If you have no trust in something, it will not work. Because every step you take, you're trying to look over your shoulder. Is it happening? Is it? You have no trust. But when you have full trust in a person, that power comes in. Okay, that power makes you connected with God. And it makes you feel His heartbeat. All right, He makes you feel what grieves Him. Okay, God is grieved with injustice. God is grieved with broken marriages, right? God is grieved with sin, corruption, abuse. He's grieved with all those things. And when the power comes upon us, we grieve with Him. We feel His grief. All right. In the same breath, okay, whatever that brings joy to God, we connect with Him. Right? Whatever God is happy with, whatever His heartbeat is, you know, when we come into the presence of God, we feel the same joy. Okay, that's the connection we have when power comes upon us. All right? And so the Bible says that to be a witness is to really to tell the truth. Tell the truth about the love of God. Okay, how do we tell the truth? We tell the truth with our speech, of course. All right, you know what's a witness? You go to court, all right? If you're a witness, you go to court. You sumpah. You have to tell the truth, whole truth, but nothing but the truth, right? So you actually swear that you're telling the truth. So a witness tells the truth. So it tells the truth by speaking the truth. And secondly, he has to live it out. I think the living out is the hard part. Okay, in court, sometimes I don't know whether you have to live it out, but suddenly they check your credentials before you step up as a witness. Okay, so you have to live that out, okay? And living that out is it's the most difficult part about a witness for God. All right, so missions, people who when you have great faith, the people who actually feel God so much that they feel like they need to fulfill that mission for Him. Okay, there's only one, and like in every nation today, we are a church that's birthed out of missions and campus ministries. And that's our DNA. That's why we are called Every Nation, because we believe that we will be in every nation of the world one day. We're going to plant every church. In fact, this year alone in 2019, we're going to have 70 churches planted in 42 nations. All right? Let's give God praise for that. You know? In fact, if you look closely, Malaysia is there, right there. All right? Malaysia is right there. In fact, let me tell you that when they came up with these statistics, all right, Every Nation Gateway is not even in there yet. So actually, they were talking about Every Nation PJ. Okay? But before we end the year, we already started Every Nation Gateway. You know, so we want to thank all the volunteers. If you're a volunteer here, maybe you can stand up. If you're a volunteer here in Every Nation, maybe you can stand up. Let's just acknowledge you guys. You know, Hao Chun, all of you guys. Okay. All these people made it happen. I mean, when they were just planning about doing it, we already made it happen. I mean, you know, leaders are like that, all right? I mean, give yourself a round of applause, you know? Leaders make things happen, all right? So that's what we are as a church. As a church, we believe in sharing the love of God. Okay, not just only in our own country, but in everywhere else in the world, all right? Because we just believe that everyone should know the love of God. And the thing is that Pastor Jackie, in fact, Sunday, his story was basically very simple. We had a missionary from Philippines who never spoke any Mandarin. By faith, takes a plane, right, to Guangzhou or Xiamen. I think it was Xiamen in China. Okay. Encounters Pastor Jackie. And then Pastor Jackie, who has very limited English, maybe not even at all, he was trying to learn English. Okay, and Pastor Gio from Philippines just asked him, "Do you know God? You know, do you know God?" And he says, "Huh? Can you spell God?" And so he took out his electronic dictionary and translator and he put there G-O-D. And then when he came out, he said, "Oh my God, that's what I learned in English." You know. That's how it all started. Okay, and just with that, okay, with that, he found God, transformed his life, came from a very poor background, and God changed his life. And then today, he's a senior pastor in Xiamen. He's running, I think he has a total of 22 churches in China, but in Xiamen alone, I think they're looking to plant 7 churches in 7 years. Okay, so that's an amazing, I mean, people really lay their lives down for God, you know. And one other story that I have, a missionary that we know very well, my wife and I, we know very well from Manila, Pastor Mel Tacho. Pastor Mel operates in Davao, down south in Manila. Every time he comes to, or rather, down south in the Philippines, every time he comes to Manila, he would visit me, visit our life group and share stories with us. Pastor Mel, in year 2003, decides to go to do a mission in Afghanistan. How many of you know that during those years, 2003, is the height of the Al-Qaeda insurgency, right? Al-Qaeda, they are just bombing, bomb anything they want, lah. Bus, you know, car bombs, whatever they'll just bomb because it's jihad for them, all right? And basically, he went to Afghanistan to teach in Kabul University architectural course as well as English. The English is the one that he uses to minister to people because the textbook for his English course is the Bible. I mean, you know that he's so clever. Okay, let's read English today. Open the Bible, you know, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning. All right, so you know, and that was his way. You know, and the thing was that that was in April of 2003. In July of 17, 2003, they call it day one. Okay, there was an attack. Okay, there was an attack by the Al-Qaeda forces on the British forces in Afghanistan itself. There was a tank with the hood open, and somehow because the hood was open, somebody tossed a grenade in, and all the crew in there died. All right, so it was a big thing. And then on the day two, the German soldiers has finished their duty. They were in a bus, 80 of them in a bus on the way back. They were on the way to the airport to be going home, essentially, all right? But on that day too, a car bomb hit them and all 80 soldiers died. Okay. And day three is Pastor Mel. Pastor Mel and his team was riding with a UN van. All right, it's a UN van, so it's not a military thing. It's a UN van because they are there to do humanitarian services. So he's teaching in Kabul University. They're on the way to Kabul University, but the van was so smelly. Okay, in the van was so smelly, and so they decided that just to unwind the window down a little bit. All right, and as they did that, in just a few moments, a grenade was tossed in. You know. And as you know, grenade takes 12 seconds to explode, right? As the grenade was tossed in, it took them 10 seconds to get the thing and threw it out again, okay? And nothing happened, okay? There was no explosion. God's hand was upon them. And because of that, actually, because that story went around the whole place, everybody knew that was a miracle, that was amazing, Okay? The day, two other days earlier, you know, soldiers just died, you know, because of some attack. And here you are, a UN van with all these missionaries in it, that grenade tossed in and nothing happened. Okay, so it became such a big thing that when they went back to the university to share about the love of God, you know, people just received them. It was like, wow, you know. The testimony of God itself is so powerful. Okay. So that's the life of a missionary, okay, because they have a mission to do. Okay. God has told them, essentially, to go to the ends of the earth, right? Go from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But not all of us are called to do that. How many of you want to go? How many of you want to go on mission to Afghanistan or to Iraq or to Iran? You know, we have missionaries there, actually, because we don't show them, you know, for security purposes. We have missionaries. Every nation has missionaries practically everywhere in the world, right? And but we can be called to pray. Can we call to pray? We can call the gift, right? For some of us, I think the best mission is to go to Maldives and start a new church. How many want to go to Maldives? Maybe we volunteer. We'll go to Maldives and plant a new church there. Or we go to the Philippines in a place called Boracay, you know, you can, where the sand is as soft as milk powder, you know. I mean, some of us would like to do that, all right? But we're not all called to do that, okay? So bring it down to a more local level, okay? Pray along with us. Bring a more local level here in every nation. Gateway itself, our faith goal this year is to be able to reach out to UM. All right? We want to start a campus ministry. We're going to believe, we believe God, you know, that we are to reach out to the young people, because, like we always say, the young people are always the leaders of the future. All right? If we reach out to a UM student, eventually, he could be, you never know, he could be a politician, he'll end up to be a politician, he could be a senator one day, he could be a minister one day, he could be a prime minister one day, all right? And if he has the love of God in him, his life is transformed. You know, if we have godly leaders, our country will be different, all right? So we have a passion for young people, we believe in them, we empower them. In fact, every nation as a movement started with campus ministers only. People who just went to college, all right, got saved by God, transformed, radically transformed, and started the movement in the Philippines. And that's what it is. We empower them to go out, all right. So that's our heartbeat itself, all right. Coming closer to a personal level, okay. The Bible tells us that, you know, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed, and how are they to believe in Him whom they have never heard, okay, and how they are to hear without someone preaching, and how they are to preach unless they are sent. And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And so, essentially, God is telling us, you know, there's only one mission for us. Right? There's one mission. And that mission is to share His love. Okay? If nobody goes out, okay, how is someone going to believe Him? How is someone going to know Him? All right? And if nobody ever goes out to preach, then no one will hear Him. And if nobody sends you out, then no one's going to preach, right? So we have a mission to do, and we need to rise up to this, essentially. All right? And basically, most of our missionaries, in fact, all of us should know this. The love of God is that He who did not spare His own Son. Okay, Romans 32 is a powerful. God is reasoning with us. Right? When Apostle Paul wrote this, He's actually reasoning with us. He's saying that He did not spare His own Son. What did Jesus do? Jesus died on the cross, okay? Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. We should have died for it. Or we are going to die for it. But instead, He substituted Himself to die for us, to pay the penalty for us. And that's really what it is, you know? God the Father is saying that I'm giving up my Son for you. And if I did not even spare my own Son, how much more will I give you things that you need in life? Sometimes we worry about a lot of things. We worry about whether our business will do well. We worry about, will I buy a car? Will I ever have a house? And that was what I was worrying. All right, when I was maybe 27, 28 years old, 29 years old, around there, I was doing pretty well. I mean, I was already working for Hong Leong. I was already a group controller for Hong Leong Credit Berhad. I mean, that was the name before. I mean, today's name is, I think, Hong Leong Financial Group, probably. That's the listed company that controls the bank, the insurance company, the property division, and all that. I was doing pretty well. I had a company car. I had a house already and all that. But in your mind, it's like, it's not enough. I got to do some more. I'm not succeeding yet. All right, I have to, you know. We worry about so many things. And God is telling me, you know, if I did not even spare my son, okay, how much more will I give you all these things? Why are you so worried? You know, and that one night, when somebody came to my house and shared the gospel to me, and shared how and what Jesus did for me. And I tell you, that day is like freedom. You know, it's like, wow, that I need not have to fight it all the way on my own. Because God has already a better plan for me. Right? God has a better plan for me. And God has a better plan for all of us here. You know, and that's really why we go out and do missions. All right, that's really why we go out and do missions. And so, on a personal level, okay, we have to be a witness for God. Not only do we speak it, but we have to live it. And I think on a very personal level, okay, we have to walk this through with God. Okay, so he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Okay, I have three observations here. One is that we are to be a witness for God, essentially. And that's only one, it's only one mission. In fact, when I was talking to Dato earlier before the service, he was saying, that's the only mission. Okay? Some of us think that we have many missions in life. We have many goals in life. And some of us think that, you know, with the many goals, there are many missions. No. Okay? There's only one big mission. Okay, God says, go therefore and make disciples of them. It's the same mission. That we are to go out and share the love of God. Okay? So there's only one mission. We have many, many goals, like I said. Okay? You have a goal for your business, or you may have many goals for your business. You have many goals for your marriage, for your family. You have many goals for your personal self and all that. That's great. All these come together, aligns with that one mission. There's a witness for God. So you ask yourself today, okay, how's my marriage? Is my marriage a witness, a good witness for God? Yeah. When people look at my marriage, okay, do they see God in it? Yeah. Right? When people look at my children, how did I raise them up? How they speak, how they behave, do they see God in them? Are we a good witness for God? When people deal with you in business, yeah. When you go out and you deal business with people, okay, how do they see it? They see you as a hard-nosed businessman alone only, just looking at that last cent that you want to earn? Or you have a bigger vision, or people that you can trust? You know, a lot of people go out there and do business. You know, like the first thing they tell you, sit down, you know what? Everybody trust me. I'm the most honest guy. You know, they tell you that. You know? I don't know if you come across. Okay, every time I sit down, I'm the most honest guy, you know. Wow, I know. Maybe that's the Philippines, I don't know, but I'm sure it's the same over here, okay? Everyone is a broker. Everyone thinks that he can connect you to something, and you know, don't worry, I can get it done for you, don't worry, trust me. Everybody trust me, I know all this. Okay, good, thank you. Right. How do you operate your business? Is your business a witness for God? Right? How about our own lives? You know, the people who really know us, you know who are the people who really know us? If you have a maid in your house, the maid is the one who knows all of us very well. Okay, you want to look into the lives of somebody, if you are a reporter and you want to find some chismes, don't talk to the owner, don't talk to the guy, you know, talk to his maid, or talk to his driver. Hey, your boss, where did he go? Oh, that guy, he went to karaoke over there, he did this, I tell you, all your secrets will be out, all right? The people who know you most are your mates. All right? You think you're such a nice guy on the outside, okay? But the mate will know that you shout at your children, you quarrel with your wife every day, you know, he knows all that. But when we go out, we can be very nice. Whew, you know. So how are we? Are we a good witness for God? And that's basically our mission itself. That's basically who we are to be. You know, because We want to reach out to people, and people don't like to hear what you say. People like to see what you do. They look into your life, you know. Is this the life that I want to follow? Right? A lot of us here are coaches, a lot here are trainers and all that, you know. It's not just what you speak, you know. We can speak very well, You can articulate things so well. Okay, but more important than that is really, who are you? Who are you? You are the person when no one is looking. Right? When you are in a room on your own, when no one is looking, okay, you are that person. All right? One time I was still very young. I was working. When I first started with Hong Leong, I was in Penang. I was Northern Region, Penang, and I had to come down to KL to do work for. And every time they bring me down to KL, before I moved to KL actually, so every time they brought me down to KL to work, they put me up in Hotel Malaya. I mean, you know, Hotel Malaya is still around, right? Hotel Malaya is still around. So every time I stay there, okay, and when I go back from work, okay, when I go into the hotel room and the phone will ring, okay, and the bellboy will tell me, "Sir, are you lonely tonight? You want company?" And you look around, no one's watching. Maybe, you know. So who you are is when nobody is watching, nobody is saying. When you're in a company, when you open the books, and you look at all the money, okay, how do you deal with it? So that's what we have to be, you know. God says you have one mission. There's only one mission for you. Okay, that is to shadow, to be a good witness for me. And to be a good witness means people seeing Jesus in us. When someone meets you, see God in you, you know, say, "Wow, you know, you walk the talk." And that's what it is for us, okay? And then he goes on to say, okay, that you are being a witness for God, not just at home. Of course, home is so important. You know, home is, in fact, most difficult. The Bible says that, you know, a prophet is never welcome at home, all right? If you're at home and your parents are not saved yet, if you're at home and your kids are not saved yet, or rather, I should say that they doesn't know God yet. They haven't discovered the love of God yet. And you think you want to preach to them, they're not going to listen to you. You know why? Because they see you grow up. They know who you are before. Before you met Christ, you were a different person. Before I met Christ, I was a different person. After I met Jesus, you know, slowly God transformed me. Slowly He changed me. All right? But before I met God, I was a different person. And our family, they look at us before Christ and they say, how can I, this guy's talking about God, talking about honesty, talking about love. What? It wasn't like that. Okay. So they'll never hear what you say, but they'll believe who you are when they see it. All right. They'll see your life. Unless your life changes, unless your life transforms, you're never going to be able to convince them of the love of God. You just think to them, it's just another fashion, another fad. You know, he'll get past it. After a while, he'll get tired. He'll go back to drinking. He'll go back to his karaoke. He'll go back to gambling or whatever. Right? That's how they would think. Right? So if you want to reach out to your family, okay, it takes you to be a good witness for God. You know, when I gave my life to Jesus one time, when I invited Jesus in my life, you know, I was so excited, okay? And so my wife told me, you know, you gave your life to Jesus today, but you haven't told your father that you have given your life to Jesus, that you're a Christian today. You know, so I said, okay. So I decided to call home. I called home, and my mom took up the phone, and I said, "Mom, I've become a Christian." And my mom said, "Huh, why? Why didn't you call and discuss first? You know, why you are so fast? Why so rush?" Okay. My mom asked me, "Are you baptized?" I said, "Yeah, I'm baptized today." "What? You're baptized? What? Let me tell your dad. Put the phone down, okay?" So 30 minutes later, she calls back. I said, "Your dad is absolutely angry with you. Your dad is going to disown you. He's going to publish in all the national newspaper, disown you." You know. But I think, you know, they were very angry, of course, okay. But they put all the blame on my wife, so I really have to commend her because she took out the whole blame, you know. Because the son can never do wrong, right? I mean, whatever it is, the son is always okay. You know, he was okay. His wife is the one who influenced him, you know. So blame the wife, you know. So Anne got all the blame, okay. But the fact remains is that we continue to honor them. Right, we continue to be respectful. You know, my dad would not talk to my wife. When she sees her walking this way, he will turn off and go off another way. You know, I mean, that happened for like 6 years. Okay, so it was hard. But we kept honoring them. We kept going back to the house, have dinner with them, being respectful, being honoring and all that. And on the seventh year, I remember, they came over to Manila. And that year, when they came over, I could see the change in them already. And I told my wife, I said, this is year we have to share the gospel to them. We're going to share to them what God has done for us. All right. And that night, I sat down and I talked to my dad. And he was open. He received God that night. And so God praise for that. Unless we change, unless we really get transformed, our family is not going to believe us. So we need to walk the talk. We need to be good witness for God himself. All right. And then the verse says, you go to Judea. Judea is all our neighbors. All right. Some of us don't like our neighbors. That's why like Samaria, all the Samaritans, okay. Jews and Samaritans don't get along very well. Okay, but God says, even you have to be a good witness to them as well for me. Right? And so if your neighbor's dog is the one that's giving you a lot of trouble, still go over to your neighbor, give him more fruits, tell him, your dog a bit loud, but still I give you more fruits, be a good friend to them. All right. Don't go and kill the dog and burn it. All right. So we have to be witnesses to everyone, all right? To our friends, to people we despise, okay. Some of us, you go to work. How many of you work for somebody? I mean, you're not your own business. Your own business is good because you're the boss, all right? If you work for somebody, all right? How many of you don't like your boss? I know because I was a boss before. So people don't like me. So I always share this so that you must always obey. No. So even if you don't like your boss, okay, you have to honor your boss, right? You'd be respectful to your boss. When you walk in an organization, all right, people look. Everybody talks back about the boss. But you be respectful. You honor your boss and all that. And you go far because it's a principle. God said if you honor your leaders, all right, you'll be honored yourself. Okay. So we have to be good witnesses. All right. And so this is what we need to do. Okay. Great faith gives us the empowerment to do it. All right. Because as we do all this, all right, God's going to honor us. God's plan for our lives is far greater than our own plans, believe me. If your mission for God, if your mission for your own life is aligned with God's mission, you can't go wrong. You can never go wrong. When I go out, talk business before, it always ends up somehow with a little gospel, with a little, sharing of his love, what God did for me. It's always ends up with something like that. Or ends up with, would you like to come to life group tonight? Actually, we have a bunch of guys, we sit around, we just talk a little bit about business, but then, we talk about life more, actually. And it's what we do. It's become ingrained in your own life. Okay, business is actually part of God's plan already. All right, you don't have, I shared on January 2nd in our first message here, there are godly priorities, all right? God first, okay? Nothing beats God. He is number one. So anything we do, his mission, God first. And then it's my wife, my family, okay, then my business, my work, essentially. All right. Can you imagine how can you be a good witness for God if your business fails? I failed to mention this, but when we witness for God, we're witnessing to a higher authority, The story of Joseph was interesting, right? I still remember the story of Joseph, okay, when the wife of Potiphar was accusing him of rape, of attempted rape, when it was not true, all right? So when the wife was seducing him, what did Joseph say? Joseph said, your master has given me everything, meaning the employer has given me everything that I need. I'm in charge of your entire household. And then he goes on to say, how can I sin against God? He never said, how can I sin against my master? It means how could I, it means if he was giving honor, he didn't say that. He said, how can I sin against God? So for him, his mission was that he'd rather be a witness to God first because God was more important to him. Okay, when he said that, when he honored God, at the same time, he also honored his master. Right? When I was in the Philippines, I was in a situation when we We started our business in 1992. You know, Hong Leong was there. I think I mentioned earlier before, we come from, at that time, Philippines wasn't doing well because they just came out of dictatorship and all the martial law and all this. So we went in, we are so good with our capital markets and all that. You know, our business was just went in and we took off like that. Okay, we were the darling of the stock market, all right? But as you know, because we invest overseas, we're all in US dollars. So in 97, when the crisis hit, when the devaluation of the peso, the baht, the Malaysian ringgit, the rupiah, okay, when it all came crashing down, our liabilities just doubled. And how do you know that in the time of crisis, all right, all things will fall, all things will be bad. You know, all your numbers in the balance sheet may have looked so good a day before, but when a crisis comes, it all looks gone, finished. You know, you double your liabilities and all your asset values drop. Okay. Drop by 50, 60, 70%, you know, nothing left. Okay, we used to own the Pepsi bottling in Manila. We used to own the biggest paper and timber company in the Philippines. All right, we had all the big investments, but when the crisis hit, the values all just dropped. So your liabilities double, your asset value zero. You're in deep shit. All right, it's bad, you know. And so when that happened, all right, when that happened, and on top of that, with the political situation in the Philippines, they're impeaching the president and all this, my wife said, you know what, I think it's time to go home, you know. And I understand where she's coming from, all right, because I have to be a responsible father. My kids were just growing up. You need to go schooling and all that. And if this company is not going anywhere, I'm only a professional, I can just walk away, find another job, all right. But I told her this. I said, you know what, if I walk away today, I feel like I'm leaving a bad testimony for God. Right? I will leave a bad testimony for God. You know, I'm walking away from something bad. But if I turn it around already, things are going good, and then I decided to move on, then I left a good testimony for him. You know? And so my agreement with her, I understood where she was coming from. And so my agreement with her is that I'm not going to look for a job, but if a job comes looking for me, maybe it's from God. And so that's what it is, you know. We have to defer to God, and that's what being a good witness for Him is, all right. That He is more important than us, all right. Keep His good name, we will have a good name, you know. Because I decided to do that, we recovered. In 10 years, I paid everything. In 10 years, we were debt free. You know, God just blessed us. Just blessed us. So. My encouragement, we're going to end already. My encouragement today is that, music team, is that, you know, we need great faith, all right? We need great faith to believe in God to do all these things, all right? And we have a great mission. And God wants us to just walk with Him, enjoy Him, all right? It's not about being religious. Someone was talking to me earlier about fasting, you know, and saying that, oh, no, I fast, I just have to be water. And I said, no, if you're hungry, you're working, you're hungry, you pop in a Mentos. No, but no, fasting means I cannot eat it. I said, don't be religious, all right? God is not religious, okay? God is not religious. He is righteous, no doubt, but He's not religious. He's not going to look at, you know, the little small things that you do. He's going to look at your heart, right? And so when you're fasting, you're hungry, you have to work, okay? You're on water, you're on juice, but you're working hard and you feel like you need energy. Drop a Mentos in your mouth, you know, get some sugar and then be perked up and go into work again, all right? So, God is not religious, and so when we walk with Him, He wants us to enjoy our walk with Him. All right, amen. Amen. All right, good. So I'm going to pray for you in a while, but we'll just end with the worship, and then I'll just pray for you all. All right.